It's time for JT the Brick.
So we feel like we're at the front lines of the Raider Nation to tell you what we believe is pertinent. So, topic number one, every day on this show, quarterback. I, JT the Brick, would like to trade into the top five and get a franchise quarterback. Well, the big decision coming up in the draft is, will the Raiders trade up and get a star quarterback in the first round? What do the Raiders need to do in the first round to get a quarterback? But I can tell you this much, that this team is going to make some big decisions coming up here.
JT the Brick.
We need the Raiders to get back to a point where they're expected to win all their big games. Raiders need to get a quarterback. I don't know who it's going to be. The Raiders have to get it right this time. And I think we're all on the same page. Or do you want to go big with a young rookie stud and just park them? But I can tell you this much, that this team is going to make some big decisions coming up here.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, good to have you today. JT in studio with Bobby. Busy show today, and we're happy that you can join us as we kick it off here in the first hour, brought to you by Golden Entertainment, owners of The Strat. And The Strat's got you set for the madness of March. It's March Madness, everybody. It's time to get going with your college hoop. Go to The Strat. They got a William Hill Sportsbook right there. They really embrace it. Viewing parties, everything. We'll be out there. Golden Entertainment, PTs, they fuel the monologue as we open up the show today. Again, if you're looking for a place to watch college basketball in a great sports book, clean, big, and a whole bunch of food around, go to The Strat for March Madness, and you'll thank me later. I think you'll really enjoy it. In 1 hour, my top five quarterbacks for the Raiders. Bobby, everybody's been clipping our show the last couple of days. One went out today. My top three who can take us to the playoffs. It's great now. What I say on the radio gets clipped and put on websites, and that took a long time for that to happen. I'm going to extend that and go top five quarterbacks I believe the Raiders should target from 5 to 1. Not saying all of them are going to be here. Maybe 2 get targeted, but I give you the 5 that I think will be the best fit for this team going forward because the team needs a quarterback. All we really have is Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell's a nice player. Can the Raiders win with him? Yeah, I think the Raiders can win with him. But they got to make a decision on the quarterback, either a franchise quarterback, a veteran stopgap, someone who can come in here and probably be better on the field and on paper than Aiden O'Connell. I think we've done a hell of a job respecting Aiden O'Connell throughout this whole process. Why wouldn't we? He's the quarterback as of now. He needs competition. There's a couple of players out there that he will not compete against. If those players come here, they will be the starter. Those will be veteran free agents. If anybody gets drafted who's a franchise quarterback, Aiden will probably play above them for a couple of games. Maybe the whole year, maybe half the season. But the Raiders, a lot of Raider fans want the franchise quarterback this year. This is the year that the Raiders have to swing the big bat, step in the batter's box, and hit a home run. Hit a home run. Because, as we talked about yesterday, the first-round draft picks, pretty much most of them have been a disaster. A disaster here in Las Vegas. And can't have disasters anymore. That's why Tom Telesco was brought in. There's been some really good draft picks. Max Crosby, Hunter Renfrow. You go down the list of some of the players who were drafted. Colt Miller, when he ended up coming to Vegas here. Been some good players. I went back yesterday to Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Right, you can go back in recently, 10 to 12 years, you can look at some players who are okay. But other than Josh Jacobs, man, it has been rough around here. And a couple of the draft picks that were taken in the first round are out of the league. They're not even playing in the league. And that means they're total bust. So we can't have that. And Tom Telesco was brought in to clean that up, a term that's used often in the NFL. We're going to watch the tape. We're going to clean it up. Well, we got to clean up the first round around here. I think the rest of the draft will go well. Now, this is a first-round draft. This is one where the first 15 picks are going to be really good. And then after that, there's going to be value there. And we'll have to wait a couple of years to figure out how valuable those players were. But in the first 12 to 15 picks, really good. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and offensive linemen, right ready to go, and maybe a defensive tackle that could come to the Raiders. All right, so let's open up the show with the big breaking news today nationally that Denver has given Russell Wilson the ability now to go out and negotiate with teams and meet with teams. So that's pretty cool. Before he's released, he has the opportunity to talk to teams in person and sit down with them. I think the Raiders should be one. I think Pittsburgh will be one. I think Atlanta will be another team to do it. Maybe Minnesota, if they don't have Kirk Cousins. Reports are they would be interested here. So the Broncos are screwed. They're giving Russell Wilson permission immediately to begin speaking and meeting with other teams in their home cities. Adam Schefter reported that earlier today. The Broncos announced earlier this week on Monday that they informed Wilson that he could be released after the 2024 league year begins. They're done with each other. They're done. It's ended ugly. It's a mess on paper because of the money that Russell Wilson received. $242.6 million. Say it with me. $242 million in this deal, and they can't buy themselves out of it quick enough. I don't think you really need to. The guy didn't have a bad year last year. He threw for over 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions before he was benched. Remember, he was benched. So give him more yards and more touchdowns if he wasn't benched. The way Derek Carr was benched at the end of his career here in Las Vegas, because the Raiders were moving on from Derek Carr, at least Josh McDaniels wanted to. And, you know, Derek Carr could have had two more games with 300 yards. You add 600 yards to his career, maybe you throw in another 6 touchdowns. So keep that all in perspective. Denver will take on $85 million in a dead money cap hit over the next 2 seasons because of the release. So that is massive. The only other players, dead money Chargers in NFL history, Matt Ryan in 2022, that was $40 million. Aaron Rodgers in 23 with the Packers, $40.3 million. Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, remember the retirement, $35.1 million. And Carson Wentz, when the Eagles wanted to get out of that deal, that was $33 million. The closest one is $40 million Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan. This is more than double. So there is good news here for the Raider fans that don't want Russell Wilson. On paper, this deal has shattered the Broncos. Reports are now they're looking to move Jerry Jeudy. I mean, who they got left on that team? A bag of footballs and a couple of old jerseys? We got to play them twice, man. We cannot afford to lose to Denver. We've won 8 in a row against them. We've fired their coaches. Vic Fangio, Nathaniel Hackett fired because they couldn't beat the Raiders. Fact, not fiction. You lose to the Raiders in Denver, everybody loses their mind. Sports radio, TV, the fans, they go crazy. Can't lose to them now. They don't even have a roster. I mean, they got some good defensive backs, but the Raiders are beating them all the time. Right? It's not like the defensive backs are winning the game. The Raiders have the number of the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos are significantly worse. They're probably going to draft a quarterback. I'll get into that, who I think they're going to take coming up here. But the fact that they wanted to do Russ this dirty after giving him that much money, and Russ is going to be taken care of for life. He never has to step on the field again. He'll have enough generational wealth just on the Broncos contract that him and his family, his kids will never have to work again. But we don't know if he's got a chip on his shoulder or not. And he wants to play in the AFC West. Does he want to play in the NFC South? We don't know. But I think it's very prudent for the Raiders to meet with him quickly. Get him in the building, meet with him, find out if he's dying to be a Raider, and let Russell Wilson ask for the job and be sincere about it. If he doesn't want to do that, we find out that the Raiders aren't interested here. In the next couple of days, we move on from Russell Wilson. But you better believe that we're going to talk about Russell Wilson. This is basically someone who took a Mercedes-Benz, brand new, out for a test ride, brought it back, and the dealership said, we don't want it. You can have the brand new Mercedes for $1,000. This deal for the Raiders would be $1.2 million for a guy who's like a $50 million a year quarterback. He's an $85 million quarterback in the next 2 years on dead money. His dead money deal is $85 million, and I got Raider fans who can't do the difference, can't do the math from $85 million in dead money to $1.2 for 1 year for him to kick the tires around here. Because they just don't want to do it. But guess what I'm doing? My job. I'm doing the radio shows. Part of my job, we got to talk about that. So should he meet? He's 35 years old. He's completely healthy. He said he wants to play. He's going to play. He's going to start. Okay, he's not going to be your backup quarterback. Stop. If he does, you know where to find me. If I get that one wrong, where he signs as a backup quarterback, I should be under suspension, Bobby. Suspend me on a Friday, Monday, please, so I can play golf on a Friday and a Monday if I get that one wrong. He spent his first 10 seasons with the Seahawks. He was selected to 9 Pro Bowls and won a Super Bowl. He's only 35 years old. He's not injured. He's completely healthy. He can make every throw. Do you see the throw he made last year against Buffalo? We got blown out at Buffalo. The season ticket holders, got blown out in Buffalo. We scored on the first drive, and we got obliterated by Buffalo and Buffalo. He beat Buffalo and Buffalo. Threw one of the best passes of the year, top 3 in the league. So we know what Russ can do. But we got a personality conflict here. And I get it. So, again, this is not a topic for me. It's going to go into the summer. Just Russell Wilson, I wanted to lead with it today because it's the top story at ESPN. Russell Wilson available to talk to other teams. Well, when's he getting to Vegas? Where's the Maverick helicopter? I mean, you fly into Henderson on a private jet. You don't have to fly in to McCarran. Henderson's got a private jet terminal. Let's get Sierra out here. Let's take a look around and see what he's interested in. Let him get on the private jet and go to Atlanta and let him go to Pittsburgh. If he goes in the building in Pittsburgh, they're not going to let him out. If he goes to Pittsburgh, there's a lot of people. Jeremy Fowler is really connected with Pittsburgh. He's with ESPN. And a lot of people think that Pittsburgh is going to go back with Kenny Pickett. And if he does, we can't beat Kenny Pickett. Every time we play Kenny Pickett, he beats us. He does. So if they stay with Kenny Pickett, you know what they'll do? They'll make the playoffs because they make the playoffs almost every year. We're trying to make the playoffs every year. Pittsburgh does that almost every year. So we want to get a quarterback who can do that. So for Russell Wilson, if there's anything I missed on this, if there's anything you missed on this, I'm going to be back on Monday. Got a trip here coming up tonight. If you want to get in on Russell Wilson again and bang the drum, no, hell no, I would appreciate that because a lot of Raider fans have checked out on this topic. They're just checked out. They were checked out on Josh McDaniels. They were checked out on Jimmy G. You're checked out on Russell Wilson. I get it, but I had to open up the show with it as we get going. All right, so Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins are the two best defensive tackles available. Massive need for the Silver and Black. Such a need, Chris Jones, to get him away from Kansas City would be the ultimate victory formation for the Raiders. It would, in my opinion, it would be the death blow to Kansas City going for a three-peat. And it would put the Raiders in a situation where they would take an arch-rival nemesis who does really good against the Raiders, and it would maybe even the score. It would have cost the Chiefs about $32 million to place the franchise tag on Jones, which is why they weren't going to do that. They didn't want to pay him that much. They kind of like to do short-term deals. He's 30 years old. But he's arguably the greatest playoff defensive player of his generation. Let me read that again off of NFL.com. Arguably the greatest playoff defensive player of his generation. Man, that's a hell of a title, and they're right. You know, Max Crosby's a hell of a player, everybody. I think he's one of the best in the league. We're not talking Max a generational player yet. Until he gets to the playoffs and wins some games with the talent levels there. Chris Jones, who's got a bunch of Super Bowls, too, he's going for 3 in a row. The other player, which is really interesting to me, is Christian Wilkins of Miami. If you watched Hard Knocks on HBO, you saw him a bunch. And he was a guy who was featured, a lot of fun, really good guy, great teammate, worked his ass off in practice, and he always showed up in the games. He can play against the run at a high level, coming off a career-high 61 pressures. The Dolphins did him a huge favor by choosing also not to place the franchise tag on him because he's set to become one of the highest-paid interior defensive linemen in football. Now, the Raiders got plenty of money to go shopping, but they'd have to use a lot of it. I wouldn't say most of it, but a lot of it, depending on how they structure the contract to get Christian Wilkins. That would solidify the Raiders' defense of having one of the best defensive lines in football. And that would be a nice box to check, wouldn't it? You know, we're trying to check boxes here, everybody. Wouldn't it be nice to check the box and sign Christian Wilkins and say, all right, we're done. We got Malcolm Kuntz, Tyree Wilson, Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, we're good. All you other guys are competing for backup positions. You're going to come in on some type of NASCAR package or rotation. But the Raiders are done. We know the Raiders are done at linebacker with Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo. So they got two starters there. So if they can get a linebacker in free agency or the draft, that's one of the holes that the Raiders have. When you look at that, to get an elite linebacker. I'm talking about a game-changing linebacker. But the Raiders are pretty good at linebacker under this Patrick Graham scheme. As far as I can tell from talking to people, Epps and Merrig are going to be back as your starting safeties. I'm good with that. They played great down the stretch this year. The Raiders were the least penalized team in football. Their defense was vastly improved under Antonio Pierce, going from the interim tag. He was the interim coach, but going from linebacker coach to interim head coach. And with Patrick Graham, this defense was really good. And then the cornerbacks, I think that the Raiders are really looking for a corner. And I think they're going to probably get one in the draft. But I think we can go into this year figuring that Jacorian Bennett, who was a high draft pick and was given the keys to start last year at times, I don't know what's going on with him in the offseason. He's got to get a lot better. Nate Hobbs is going to be here. He's pretty good in the slot. And then Jack Jones came out of nowhere. And that was Christmas for us last year. We got Jack Jones, and no one expected him to be that good. So I think we're pretty good at corner. I think we're pretty good at safety. I think we're pretty good at linebacker, but I can use another. And if we go out and get Leonard Williams, Christian Wilkins, or Chris Jones, I think the Raiders could just put that roster up on the board there in Henderson and say we're good. Everybody else, you're trying to make the practice squad. Everybody else, if you're a defensive player, you better play special teams. We got 10 of our 11 starters coming back on a defense that kicked ass down the stretch and play hard for Patrick Graham and Antonio Pierce. But that brings me back to, again, the other need positions for the Raiders. What else is a need? Special teams isn't a need. Got the kicker and the punter. Wow, that's pretty good. We got the punter who goes to the Pro Bowl every year and a good kicker. Indoors in a dome, we don't have to worry about snow and this and that. We got pretty good special teams overall. Oh, you're right, Bobby. The offensive line. Okay, offensive line, Colt Miller and who? Colt Miller and who? Well, you can get a right tackle. You can go out and get a right tackle, which I've been screaming from the top of the building. Told Dave Ziegler right to his face one day, I wish we got a right tackle. Wish you went out and got it. No, we're going to go with the Luminor. We're going to go with, you know, players. We're going to plug and play players at that position, which is all right. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they chose to do. And guess what? I don't think it was a terrible mistake, Thayer Mumford and Jermaine Luminor. But you look at the situation and position groups here, those guys aren't mentioned anywhere around the league other than some grades, and they're good guys. I've interviewed them both. They're really good guys, but do the Raiders want good guys or do they want stars who can play? The tackle position is something I've been screaming about for a couple of years here. We'll see what happens. The interior offensive line from Robert Hunt to there's a couple of guys there. John Simpson, remember him? Right? There's some names that are around here. Andre James is ranked in the top five at NFL.com, assuming he comes back. There are some names around here I think the Raiders need and will get an offensive lineman in the draft in the first two rounds. Either they're not going to get the quarterback, and at 13, there's going to be an offensive lineman that drops to them. I don't think it's going to be Joe Alt. But if an offensive lineman drops to him, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all, and the Raiders could get in the second round the best offensive lineman on the board, or the Raiders can trade up into the late first round like they did last year to get Michael Mayer and maybe get an offensive tackle there. But this week has been all about the quarterbacks and what needs to happen with the quarterbacks here. So again, it's my job to wake up the Raider Nation, let them know we're open for business. It's quarterback season, everybody. We're going hunting. You can go to the safari. You can go somewhere to hunt. You can go hunt anywhere in California. My in-laws in the Midwest, in Illinois, you can go hunting. We're going hunting for a quarterback. And we're going big game hunting because that's what we're doing on the radio. We chose this offseason as the franchise tag deadline has passed and the NFL league year is about to start. Free agency is pretty much open for business in a few days and the draft's right around the corner that we have got to put our heads together and get a quarterback. And it's going to be complicated. I was talking to Vinny today. Vinny Bonsignor will be hosting for me a Thursday and Friday. Excited about that. He's excited. And I was just picking Vinny's brain privately on the quarterback. We had a good discussion on what he thinks, what I think, going back and forth. I'm sure Vinny will be talking about that the next couple of days here on what he thinks. But it's complicated. It is complicated to go from 13 to 3. It's hard to do that. You pretty much have to give up the 13th pick this year to move up there and your next two first-round picks. Okay, I could live with that. Can you? 702-365-9200. Can you live with that? I can. But maybe Tom Telesco. All new GMs don't want to go into the high limit poker room and put their first hand and put it all in on the first hand. That's not usually what GMs want to do, man. GMs want to build through the draft. They want to trade down. They want to get more picks so they have more opportunities to be right. And you swing from 13 to 3 and get it wrong, everybody will remember that pick. But I think it could be the time to do it, and it would be great for all of us. It would be exciting here. So that's what we're opening up the show with. Also, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton at the bottom of the hour, and Jim Lampley, one of the greatest sports broadcasters of all time, from the Olympics, from the biggest fights of your lifetime, everything Jim Lampley does. He's going to talk about the fight coming up, Joshua Ngannou, and we'll talk boxing with him. And I can jump off with him and talk about a lot of other topics. So Hacksaw at 12:30, Jim Lampley at 1:30. Me the rest of the way. I'm already at my word count for the monologue, and I'm ready to go. UNLV basketball. What a night. So last night, my wife had a girlfriend in town and her husband from grade school, and we went out to dinner over at One Steak. That's one of our go-to spots over at Virgin, right across the street from the Thomas and Mack. And we sat at the bar with the great John O'Donnell, and I watched the entire game. And the people I was with didn't mind. My wife was talking to her girlfriend, and I was talking to her husband, and we watched the whole game at the bar. Every play. And UNLV came out fast. They played really well. They had a commanding lead early. They held on to the lead and played great down the stretch. So I think for what UNLV did last night against San Diego State, there is no more, absolutely no more Kevin Kruger talk about him not being here. He's done. He's good. But he won 10 out of 11 games. They're peaking heading into the conference tournament. I think all of that looks good. I think it's going to be amazing to see what this team could do here. They got Nevada and then the Mountain West tournament. If all that comes together, they got a puncher's chance. It's not a great chance to win the tournament. I was talking in the building here to a couple of guys. If they get to the finals of the Mountain West and lose a close game, they can get in the tournament. But they pretty much got to win the tournament. But very impressive what they did last night.
All right, ball into Trammell. Trammell gets the ball left side to Parrish. He shoots a three. It's blocked and taken by Keelan Boone. He gives the ball to DJ Thomas. DJ up ahead to Keelan and a foul in the backcourt with 6.5 seconds to go. What a play by Keelan Boone deflecting that three-pointer by Parrish.
John Sandler on the call as always, running Rebels basketball. If you went to the game last night, we'd like to hear from you. Again, I think, Bobby, we're the only show on at noon, sports-related. There's not one on the other side of the building. So if you want to talk UNLV, do it with me. And what it's going to take for UNLV to win the Mountain West. And, you know, I know the teams, but I don't dive into UNLV basketball like some Ed Graney does and Steve Cofield, the other guys who travel and know the team well. But if you're a UNLV fan here and you're an alumni, this is exciting. They're playing good at the right time. And that's what's supposed to happen. So after the game was over, I was telling my buddy, you know, there's going to be people storming in here. No, there's going to be people, and I was right. We were there, and people came in. They walked over from Thomas and Mack. They came to Virgin, had a couple of cocktails. They had their UNLV gear on. It was fun last night, Tuesday night, to be out there and to see our hometown team win and the fans be really excited about it. That was really cool. So I wanted to fit them in here. Trade deadline, we'll tell you about in the NHL who the Golden Knights picked up. And it's getting dicey for VGK. It's getting dicey here, man. They got to start winning. They got to win 5 out of 6. They got to win their next 7 out of 9. They got to get going here because they've been injured, not very inspired. Other teams are picking them apart on nights where they don't bring their A game early. So this is now the time that everyone back home, sleeping in their own bed, back here in Vegas, better get the wake-up call. For VGK, I'm confident they'll make the playoffs, but you better start making sure they win a couple of the games coming here. We'll hit on that. The NBA, Celtics lost last night. The Nuggets are playing the Celtics, and they're both coming off losses. That's a preview of the NBA Finals. It's Milwaukee and Boston. Boston's a better team in the East, and it's just Denver out West. I mean, again, Oklahoma City's a good story. I still think Minnesota is a fun story, but Denver is so far superior to the Warriors, the Lakers, everybody else out there. It's Denver, and it looks like Boston. They are going to probably meet up. So that's what we're doing, the monologue. Appreciate you. Brought to you by the DiCastaverde Law Group. The brothers have your back. If you get into an accident, 702-222-9999. Have that in your phone. In case you do get into an accident, get to the side of the road. Get safe. If you need emergency help, you need an ambulance, you need to get to a doctor, you do that, but then you call the Castroverde Law Group. They are amazing at what they do. 702-222-9999. Coming up in about 40 minutes, my top five quarterbacks the Raiders need to target from number five to number one. If that's too much big boy radio for you, download a podcast if it's going to hurt your feelings. We're going to dive into the quarterback here because the Raiders are in the market for a quarterback, and I'm excited about it. Rich Gannon ain't walking in that room, everybody. The great Ken Stabler, may he rest in peace. Got to find someone who can come in here and win and run and move around in the pocket and keep their head looking downfield and run past the pylon out of bounds for a first down. Because everybody else is doing it in our division. It's time the Raiders do it right now.
See, I guess the one thing I'll say is this is like, there's really no consensus boards, at least since I've been in the league, there isn't. You got 32 different teams that look at things 32 different ways. So our ranking may be different than other rankings. So I don't know if there's necessarily a top three and a next two or a next three. I'm not going to go down my list with you now, but I don't even really have a list at this point right now. So we'll work through it like we do all the other positions. But like, there's one thing, like there's just not a consensus of like what the ranking is. It's going to be a little bit different for everybody depending on what you're looking for.
Tom Telesco. All reports are he plays everything close to the vest. JT back with you, brought to you by Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. Charles Woodson's whiskey brand, his legendary status and brand, he brought it to his great bourbon whiskey. Ask for it everywhere in the valley, anywhere on the strip. And if they don't have it, let us know, and we'll let Charles and his friends know, and they'll get it in there. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, one of the more prominent sports talk radio hosts of all time, kind enough to join us. He joins us every few weeks, and Lee, we're right here in Vegas, and should it be Russell Wilson watch? Walk us through Denver and what Denver did right or wrong and what Russell Wilson should do next.
JT, good to chat with you again. Yeah, the search for a new job has officially begun because last night the Denver Broncos gave Russell Wilson permission to make contacts with NFL teams right now, even though he does not become a free agent until June 1st when he is released. But they're going to allow him to work a deal, and the NFL allows this too for guys who are going to be post-June 1 cuts. You know, history will write great, great career Seattle, battered at the end of his run with the Seahawks by virtue of injuries, went to a really bad situation in Denver. I don't think he was 100% healthy. The team fell apart around him. Then the coaching change, the Nathaniel Hackett fallout, the arrival of Sean Payton, and then just another siege of injuries in his second year. Does he have gas left in the tank? Yeah, I think he's going to have to go to a specially built offense that's really going to protect him because his style now is not, JT, what it was with the Seahawks. And in terms of Denver, this looks like they're taking this thing to ground zero. I mean, they're going to move some players. I think they're going to trade one or two of their wide receivers. They got a lot of injuries. They got a massive salary cap problem. I don't know where they're going to go get a quarterback unless it's a one-year rental. This thing is really in trouble, this franchise. And they've gone through 10 quarterbacks since the John Elway, Peyton Manning era, and Russell Wilson was the one that was supposed to lead them to better times, and they're probably in worse situations now, JT, than they've been pre-Russell Wilson. And I don't know how they're going to get out of it because they have no salary cap room at all. And I guess the most shocking thing to me is that Peyton didn't feel comfortable making it work with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And the other shocking thing is the guy that made the deal, the then general manager, George Payton, is still there. The fact they gave up three players, two number ones, two number twos, gave him a $242 million contract with really special language, and now they have to swallow $85 million in dead money. Tell you what, Denver's not to be the place to be if you're a football fan right now because their franchise is it's hurting for certain.
Hacksaw joins us. So with Russell Wilson having 26 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, missing the last couple of games because they benched him. He won against Kansas City. He beat Buffalo on one of the greatest throws of the year. There's enough on tape with him that said he had a pretty good year, considering what you said about Denver crumbling around him. Other than their secondary, they're a pretty bad team overall. If he ends up in Pittsburgh or Atlanta, Atlanta needs a quarterback. In Pittsburgh, I don't know why they'd roll out Kenny Pickett again unless they just are so invested in him as a former high draft pick. I think those two teams make a lot of sense, Atlanta and Pittsburgh. What about you?
Well, I think the other item in the equation is Justin Fields is out there, and he is going to be traded by the Chicago Bears. Now, granted, the price of Justin Fields is going to be fairly significant. It might be a second-round pick and maybe a fifth-round pick. But 4 years into his career, he really had a good year last year when the Bears finally put people around him. Now, I don't think Pittsburgh's in the running for any of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pittsburgh wants to pay the price historically. They've never paid the big price for a quarterback. I think there's still some things to be viewed as it relates to Kenny Pickett. Can they put a better team around him? They had bad injuries at wide receiver. They were trying to groom an offensive line. The Pittsburgh we saw the second half of last season played a lot better than when we saw the first 3 months of the season. So maybe Pickett gets the opportunity with Mason Rudolph and then maybe a third veteran quarterback coming in to compete. But I don't know that it's Russell Wilson, even though you can get him absolute dirt free for like $1.5 million because the Broncos have to pay all the rest of the $39 million salary. But there are other quarterbacks out there that are all part of this mix. And that'll, you know, if we're connecting the dots here on quarterbacks, you know, now we got to add Kirk Cousins into the conversation because he's a walk free agent. But his history is huge payday. And I don't know who wants to give him a huge payday at $39 million because he earned mega money in Minnesota. But he's not one bleep over the last couple of years, despite how he has been compensated. So there's a whole pile of teams that need quarterbacks. I think the last I counted, there's eight, including the Raiders. And you've got three high draft picks. You got at least two other quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round. I mean, it's fascinating to see how these dominoes fall. I think Wilson is the first one to sign because he wants a job locked and he comes very affordable if it's the right situation. And the other dominoes from Washington to New England to Atlanta to Minnesota to the silver and black. All those other dominoes will start to fall, but I do think Wilson comes off the board first.
Lee Hacksaw Hamilton's our guest. So going into the combine, it looked to me that it was Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Those were the top three, and then you had J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr. Now the buzz, Lee, seems to be that J.J. McCarthy could have leaped into that top three, top four, and be a priority for Denver at 12. Could he be there for the Raiders at 13? Everybody knows Jaden Daniels wants to be a Raider because of the connection to Antonio Pierce going back to ASU. And I don't know if Drake May is dropping or not. I didn't see a lot of him. I've seen the tape, but didn't watch a lot of his games live. Walk me through the quarterbacks and what you saw from the combine, and did any one particular quarterback really move drastically to you to be an impact guy right out of the gate?
Well, I don't think it's quite right to say, show me your stuff in one day's workout in Indianapolis at the combine. If I'm a marquee quarterback, hey, look at my tape. Caleb Williams, number one. May is a little bit like Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. I think he's unpolished, but I'll tell you, he's big, he's physical, he's a firebrand of a leader. He'll turn into Roethlisberger once he gets coaching, so I'd say he's two. I don't know what to make of Jaden Daniels. I mean, the statistics he put up, first at Arizona State as a young quarterback, then at LSU with Brian Kelly, are just unbelievable. It's like 12,000 all-purpose yards run and throw. But that being said, JT, we know that running quarterbacks get hurt in the NFL, so he will run only when there's no way to throw the football. I don't think we're going to do a lot of RPO with him. Is he a complete quarterback? Well, he was a one-man show at LSU. He was really, really spectacular. So you got them. In terms of J.J. McCarthy, I like some of the things I've seen on him, and I've watched a bunch of their games, but the reality is he had a power running game. He played behind a ton of linemen who are going to wind up in the NFL. By the way, they had a great defense. So I don't know if he's the complete quarterback or he's a byproduct of what Harbaugh had in Ann Arbor. That's fascinating. That's why you have pro days. That's why these clubs go in and they'll have the individual meetings and they'll do the whiteboards and all that. So I'm not quite sure where J.J. McCarthy ranks Is he strong three? Is he a four guy? And then after that, you got the West Coast. Bo Nix is a systems guy, but the guy wins, mm-hmm. and the guy produces, and the guy doesn't make mistakes, and he's a little bit older and a little bit more mature. I'm kind of fascinated with him. I don't know what to make of Michael Penix, only because is he Tua? Is he Michael Vick? Has he survived all the injuries? And did we what we saw at Washington with the Huskies, does that mean he's ready for the NFL? I like the kid. The kid sure does compete, but I've seen a lot of really good, quote, college quarterbacks that can't make it at the next level of the NFL. So, like you and me, talk show radio, fascinating time to sort out all these hot guys. And the one thing we know for certain is about eight teams out there that desperately need a quarterback. I want to see what the Raiders do. I am a huge Telesco fan. Mm-hmm. I understand the sales pitch with Antonio Pearson, all that, wanting 53 dogs on his roster. And the comment that was made at the Combine is we don't want a Band-Aid situation at quarterback any longer, because that's been the Raiders' history for the most part outside of Derek mm-hmm. Carr's acquisition. So I'll be fascinated to see who they wind up with and what type of quarterback they want, whether it's veteran or whether it's a kid that they're going to grow and develop. It's going to be fun going forward.
Yes, wrapping up with Hacksaw, just a few more moments with him. Lee, San Diego State came in here to the Thomas and Mack. UNLV wins. They won 10 out of 11. Kevin Kruger's got them playing well. They're peaking at the right time. They'll have to win the Mountain West tournament to get in. I don't think they can do that, but San Diego State's a good basketball team, and they ran into a hot UNLV team last night.
I'll tell you, the conference has been superb. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got five, maybe we got six that are going to March Madness. We've never seen this ever in the conference, and you and I have been covering this mm-hmm. league for a long time, dating back to when it was the old WAC. San Diego State's got issues. They have lost six games in the conference, all of them on the road in hostile environments. It's not a complete team, and I think there's a lot of disappointment right now. And there's no doubt that Jaden Ledee is probably going to be a first-round pick. That's an NBA body in a college basketball player right now, and he's had to do a chunk of it by himself. Last year was so special for San Diego State to get to the Final Four and then get to the championship game. And I said, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I'm not going to say it was an aberration, because those kids did it with Brian Dutcher's guidance. But that roster last year was loaded with six-year kids. Those were kids that picked up the extra year by virtue of COVID redshirt. So that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This is a different team. But the conference, what Kruger's done with young kids is really spectacular. The conference has grown by leaps and bounds via the transfer portal. You know, when we talk about the portal, JT, as a talk show guys, we kind of say, oh, this is bad for collegiate athletics. But in the Mountain West in basketball, everybody got bounce backs. Everybody went to Division II and found these gems who could make the next step up to the Mountain West level. That's why the Utah States and the Nevadas and obviously what Vegas has done, even to a degree New Mexico, that's why the conference is so good. So the MWC tournament in Vegas, I just think, is going to be spectacular. And like we've seen more recently, there are going to be some upsets in this tournament. I would hope all five or six wind up going to March Madness, because this is cool the way this conference is just come back. Thank you, transfer portal.
Yeah, Lee, last one. You know, hockey, Vegas made a move before the trade deadline, adding a left wing from Washington. These are the Stanley Cup champions. Mark Stone is hurt again. Eichel's coming back. Looking at the Vegas Golden Knights, it's just hard to repeat. I just thought they'd need to get into the dance. Don't worry about their seating and get healthy. Looking at it from a distance, knowing hockey the way you do, how bad do the Golden Knights look going forward, or are they going to get this right and make a run to defend the cup?
It's only three words when it comes to NHL playoffs. Are you hot? Mm-hmm. Are you healthy? That's the big thing. And Vegas, unfortunately, has really come through some really bumpy times with all the different injuries that they've had. You know, the trade deadline comes up on Friday, and I think there have been six trades today, and I think there have been nine trades, some of them really significant. What's gone on in Vancouver, what just happened in Edmonton, with the Oilers' big trade with the Ducks. There's more deals, more dominoes are going to fall, but this is the unique time in the NHL, because you got all these clubs that are either moving contracts of guys that they just don't want to keep and can't afford anymore, or they're going to move contracts that are their half-year rentals. They're dumping contracts for soon-to-be free agents. We're not done with these transactions, so I would think by Friday night we're going to have a much better feel as to who's the real deal right now. I mean, there's no doubt that Vancouver has shocked the world with what they've become, and they've continued to build on that. And now Edmonton has just done what they've done. And back east, you got Boston and you got the Maple Leafs. So after those teams, I don't know if there's anybody else we can mention in the same sentence as being upper echelon.
Lee, HacksawHamilton.com, brilliant website, always up to date, always have it in front of me when I'm doing a show. If you're a talk show host, you get it. If you're a fan out there, you want to see something unique, go to LeeHacksawHamilton.com. Thank you, Lee. Hope to talk to you. We'll talk to you before the draft if we can set that up.
My pleasure, JT. Be well. Talk to you again.
You got it. There's Hacksaw, the first radio host I ever called. Good trivia. First one I ever called. People say, well, Jim Rome. You're right. I called Jim Rome, won the smack-off, won the first ever smack-off, but I was calling Lee before that. The franchise in Southern California, and he's got a YouTube channel like I do. Where's my YouTube today? It's not up today. I got to be more consistent. Got to get the right technology, Bobby. Got to get it in here. So we're going to work on the YouTube over the weekend. Thanks again to Hacksaw for joining us. Jim Lampley will join us next hour. I just tweeted out at JT the Brick, my top five Raider quarterback options. I'll give it to you at the top of the hour. If you want to see it first, you can go to Twitter. And then what will happen is grown men will get on Twitter and start fighting me on Twitter and saying I'm the Antichrist because they didn't like my fourth and they thought it should have been the fifth on the list. That's what happens. That's what we do on Twitter. We get onto a thumb fights. Not fist fights, thumb fights. So that'll start popping up there too. Excited about Lee coming on. Appreciate that. I'm taking the red eye to Florida tonight. I'm going to see my parents' family, my wife's family, because I work 6 days a week during football season. Only time I can go is now. So I'm going to get out of Dodge for a couple days as my sons are home with the dog. Quick little trip and have some fun. See family. Family means everything to me. And then next week, I got a chalk talk with Rich Gannon, who's coming into town. And I'm going to be the MC of the Max Crosby Foundation Gala, which is coming up a week from Thursday, week from tomorrow. And the recipient of his first award will be Dana White at the UFC Apex. That's an exciting night I can't wait for. Going to be a busy week next week.
Yeah, I mean, he's a high-level player, and I do want to establish a philosophy with the Raiders that we like to re-sign our own. Doesn't bother me that I didn't draft him. He's a Raider, and he was drafted by the Raiders, so he's a high-level player. So, yeah, we're going to explore pretty hard to see if we can bring him back here and kind of go from there. But he's, as far as a player that, you know, running game, pass protection, you know, can really help you win games.
Devontae, according to Tom Telesco, as we are back, coming up at the top of the hour, my top five list of Raider targets at quarterback. Doesn't mean they're going to be there in that order. One could be a reach, free agents, who's available. How do you want to play this out here as we are in the quarterback hunt? And the quarterback hunt, a lot of people, you know, at number 12 is Denver. Denver's got to get a quarterback. Everything tells me they're going to get J.J. McCarthy. I like him. It's say the Raiders at number 10. So they're at 13, Denver's at 12. All of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy's on the board. What do you do? I mean, it shouldn't cost as much, but maybe it does. If you're going to move up in the first round to get a quarterback, moving up to get J.J. McCarthy, is it the same as moving up to get Jaden Daniels at number 2 or 3? It might be one first-round pick, you know, the pick you're giving up, and then next year's first-round pick. But I don't know if it'll be two. The only thing I know for sure is if you want Caleb Williams, you got to go get three. You got to go give up three to get it. The Commanders get their tight end. Zach Ertz signs a one-year deal with the Commanders there. And look, you know, I think the Commanders getting Cliff Kingsbury. A lot of people here wanted Cliff Kingsbury. That's tipping their hand on the quarterback situation. So the quarterback at number two could be Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders, even though a lot of people think that Caleb Williams doesn't want to drop from one to two. He wants to be number one. He's got an ego. But the team he probably wants to play for is from his area of the country would be the Commanders. The ownership, he doesn't want to play in Chicago. It's cold in Washington. It's cold in Chicago. Chicago could be brutally cold, but it can get cold there also. A lot of these young quarterbacks want to play in warm weather, man. They want to play in a dome. They want to play in New Orleans, Atlanta, Las Vegas. They want to play inside knowing that they're going to have 8 or 9 home games, maybe a playoff game. And then, you know, Raiders caught a break last year, Bobby, because the Raiders played Buffalo early. The weather was great. There was no problem with the weather. They got Kansas City on Christmas. That was really their cold weather game. And other than that, you know, the Raiders weren't running into brutal weather on their schedule last year. You know, the Raiders tripped up on their schedule and missed the playoffs because they lost to Minnesota 3-0. And they lost to Chicago. And when they lost to Chicago, that was the beginning of the wheels coming off. The lug nuts were loose, but the wheels came off for Josh McDaniels in Chicago because then they had to play Detroit on Monday night. And they put up a fight in that game early, but then they just got routed. And he got fired. Mark Davis pulled the trigger on Halloween because he saw enough. Remember, if Josh McDaniels beats Chicago, he doesn't get fired, in my opinion. He doesn't. We're still talking about Josh McDaniels today. And he'd have another opportunity. And how do you think Josh McDaniels would have felt if he hung on and the team didn't implode in Chicago and Detroit, and for whatever reason they beat Chicago and would have put in Aiden O'Connell instead of Brian Hoyer and would have won those games? Antonio Pierce wouldn't be the head coach. Josh McDaniels would be. And you know what Josh McDaniels would be doing? He'd be preparing for the draft at the quarterback position, which is his expertise. Scouting quarterbacks, getting ready for this draft. He's gone. Antonio Pierce comes in. Tom Telesco comes in with him. And now you got Tom Telesco, who is tied to Justin Herbert, who I think is a fabulous player. And Telesco, I don't care if he fell to Telesco, whatever. Tom Telesco got Justin Herbert, who I believe has a chance to be quarterback 1A to Patrick Mahomes in years to come if he's got a good team around him. And now Justin Herbert's got Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's, you know what Jim Harbaugh's going to do with Justin Herbert? I mean, that team's also in trouble because they got cap issues. They're not going to have both Khalil Mack and Bosa. One of them's going to leave. People saying, what about the wide receiver position? What are they going to do? They need more help on the offensive line. I think one of the big stories for the Raiders, if they do well in free agency in the draft, is that Denver looks like a rebuild. And Jim Harbaugh is going to have a tough start, I think, with the Chargers, because he's got to tweak that roster and get rid of some high-money players. Hour number 2, Jim Lampley, one of the great broadcasters of all time. He'll join us in 30 minutes.